Let's go to a very familiar passage of Scripture found in Romans 12 and 1. You may later, I don't know exactly when, but we do have Brother David Clary will be preaching a second part for us, and they're driving in from Natchitoches, so you may see them slip in later. But anyway, right now, I want your attention. So Romans 12 and 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Very familiar scripture, preached it many times, but not quite like this. I want to call the title of this lesson this morning, The Sacrifice of Living. The Sacrifice of Living. You know it's easier to be dead than it is alive? It's a lot easier to be dead. The sacrifice of living. Lord, I come before you this morning. I do ask for your guidance. I ask for your help as I always do, Lord. I ask for your help in times that I'm not speaking, just with thoughts and things that I need to help other people with. But today, it's time to deliver. And Lord, help me to articulate the words that would help somebody today to understand the value of their life and what it means to them and to Christ. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. If you're waiting for God's hands to show up, well, you're it. If you're waiting for God's arms to show up, you're it. If you're waiting for God's eyes to show up, you're it. You are it. Say, I'm it. You're it. You're all of God anyone's ever going to see right now. God is a spirit, right? He's a spirit. And so when the Lord told Philip, he said, he that's seen me has seen the Father. I'm all of God you're going to see. And right now, you're all of God he's going to see. All of God is in you today. The fullness of Godhead is now in you. It was in Christ, now it's in you. Oh, that's not even my lesson. Paul was begging and pleading with his brothers at Rome. He said, by the mercies, the greatest thing you could ever beg by, the mercies of God. The greatest thing you could ever beg for, the mercies of God. And he says, he's talking to his brothers in the Lord. He said, I'm pleading with you through the mercies of God that you would present your bodies a living sacrifice, both holy and acceptable unto God, which is only your reasonable service. Now, he's not asking you your body to be burned. You know, like, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth nothing. What he's saying is, let your body be part of the body of Christ. You are the eyes. You are the feet. You are these things. So why don't you present yourself to the body of Christ so that you may fulfill the will of God, which is only reasonable that you should do that. Amen. You have a reasonable service. When you get a job, you got a reasonable service, right? We paid you to do this, this, and this. Now, if you want to go beyond the reasonable service, go ahead and clock out and keep working. Not many people are going to do that. But let me tell you, boss man goes, you know, they clocked out. She clocked out. And keep on working. Give her a raise. Promote that person. Because if you just do your reasonable service, you just got paid the reasonable pay. But I'm in this, Paul said, I'm in it for the prize of the high calling. I'm going to press toward the prize. I'm going to clock out and keep working. I do a lot of work you don't see here today. I keep working. You don't see it. It's manifest here, but you don't see it. And so we come to church and we say, you know, it says your reasonable service. We come, I'm going to church service. Okay, what'd you do? This is not a service of the Lord. This service is you. This is where you get something. This is where you get recharged. This is where God services you. This is a filling station for you. The service of the Lord is done outside these four walls, not in these four walls. So really, a service, when we said present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service, the service is the sacrifice. When you look at the Old Testament, what you will find in the Old Testament, when they had a service, it was a sacrifice. That's what the service was. And so in the Old Testament, they had to offer an acceptable sacrifice unto God. What this scripture is telling us right here, it says, give your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, which means not every body is acceptable. Not every sacrifice is acceptable. It takes God's acceptance. Okay, so you remember a man named Cain, him and his brother? they both offered a sacrifice unto God, right? They both offered unto God. Only one of them was acceptable. The Bible says that God had respect unto Abel's sacrifice or his offering, but he had no respect unto Abel's offering. So what happened to Cain? Rejected. But he wasn't immediately rejected, for the Lord said, this will straighten us out. This will straighten us out. Because we've always tried to figure out, why was Cain rejected? Oh, it wasn't a blood sacrifice. That's why he was rejected. Oh, it wasn't the first of his firstlings. Because, see, Abel offered of the firstlings, and he just offered of his abundance. So maybe that's it. But can I offer you a different look at the scripture today? Let's go to Genesis 4 and 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why are you living angry? Why are you living mad? Why hast thou countenance fallen? Why do you look so angry? Some people you look, they just have this upside down smile. They just look angry. Sometimes you go to ask somebody something, you go, oh, not them. Not them. You know, just look at them and you don't want to talk to them. And so the Lord just looked at him and he said, why are you, listen close, why are you living this way? Now watch, verse 7. If thou doest well, he didn't say anything about the sacrifice. What he said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. What I'm looking at is how you live. You're looking at the sacrifice. Well, somebody can throw in $1 million here today and go, boy, look at the sacrifice. Well, if they got 50 million, what kind of sacrifice is that? What the Lord is looking is how you live. And the Lord looked at Cain and saw how he was living. He was living angry. He was living depressed. He was living with feeling rejected. He was living in denial of what had happened. And he said, if you'll do well, live well, I'll accept your sacrifice. You don't see where he said, I don't want fruit. I don't want vegetables. That's not my... He said, it's you. It wasn't the sacrifice. It was him. It was him. And he was living... He was the living sacrifice. So no matter what you offer to God with your lips, it is your heart that matters. You can praise God. Even the Lord turned around and rebuked his disciples. They said, oh, we love you. We love you. We love you. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Show me that you love me. James said, don't be just a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. Show me. For faith without works is dead and abides alone. And so Cain was living an unsacrificial life. What are you sacrificing this morning? Let me tell you, you didn't sacrifice to come to church. No, this is where you get charged. You get something out of this. And so we just think, you could be laying in your bed snoozing away and you'll wake up guilty and feel bad. What did I do that for? I should have went to church. And so Paul is beseeching his brethren by the mercies of God to present themselves a living sacrifice. He didn't say bring something. He said present your life as a sacrifice unto God. Christ offered what? Himself. He didn't offer anything else, no bullock, no lamb. If that could have done it, then we'd still be doing it. But he offered himself. And now Paul is asking us to do the same. Offer yourself unto God, holy, but offer yourself acceptable. You can't tell God one thing and live another way and be an acceptable sacrifice unto him. Even when Christ died, he died for us all, right? He died as a sacrifice, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But when he arose from the grave, he looked at his disciples, I go to my Father and your Father. That's where he offered himself. He offered himself to us on the cross, but he brought himself back as he said, I go to my Father to be glorified. And that's where it was accepted. And he came back glorified. Oh, Lord. Don't you want to be glorified? Amen. Since you're the temple of the Lord, I would tell you to take care of yourself. I would say take care of yourself. Whatever you got to do, take care of yourself. Because you got to give yourself to the Lord. And if you're struggling with, because of so many things that we do to our own body, and you're struggling, you can't live acceptable unto the Lord. Because you'll be so busy tending to these struggles that you don't have time for the one you're trying to praise. So let's all take care of ourselves. I have learned that anything you really love, you will sacrifice for it. Money's no problem when you love it. Time's no problem when you love it. Amen. I like deer hunting. I'm borderline loving deer hunting. But if I really love deer hunting more than I love God, I wouldn't be here today. You see, when people that really love deer hunting, they can't afford it, the lease, they can't afford the bullets, they can't afford the trip, the truck, the four-wheel drive, the winch, but they'll spend all their money on it because they love it for one shot. Sit in that blind for hours to get one shot. Why? They love it. He said, well, I could never do that. But you love something, and you'll pour your time, your finances into all of that because that's what you love. You got an old car you like to work on. You'll spend money on old parts, get on eBay and find these old parts, and somebody's got it on a trot line out there trying to catch a catfish. Say, I got one of them old crank-up windows. I'll sell it to you. He's using it for a weight, and you pay high dollar for that thing because you love it. Where does God fit in your scheme of love? What are you willing? How much do you? For God loved you so much that he gave himself. He gave himself. And that's what Paul's saying. We need to give ourselves like he gave himself. He loved the world so much that he gave himself and died for us. For no greater love hath any man. So I've learned that what you value, you will sacrifice for because you want to enjoy. You'll go through the suffering stage because you want the benefit of what pleasure it can give you later. That one shot. That food plot. I mean, plowing and planting and fighting off the hogs, all that for that one shot. I like it. But I don't love it. And Christ looked at the cross and he saw the suffering of the cross. But he looked beyond the cross and saw the joy that was on the other side of the cross. And he said, it's worth it. It's worth it. I love it. I'm going to do it because I love what's on the other side of the cross. And that, my brothers and sisters, is what you have to do. For after you suffered a while, he will settle you and establish you. And then he will promote you. And you will enjoy all the things you went through in the suffering. Well, oh, it's worth it. What does he say about a woman travailing with a child? It's great suffering, but when she has the child, she forgets the suffering. Right? I don't hear my wife complaining about, boy, when I had David, when I had Melanie. No, she talks about her grown kids in a good way. You show me someone that is successful at anything, and I will tell you they sacrificed to get there. You cannot be successful without sacrifice. Now, Sister Valentine is playing the piano in the absence of Brother Brian this morning, and I think she does a wonderful job. A wonderful job. But I'm here to tell y'all a secret. I can play too. And I practiced about 30 minutes, maybe, a week when I was a little boy. So you know how I play. Now you know how I play, because I didn't love it, so I didn't pour myself into it. Sister Valentine, did you ever have a lesson? Had a few lessons. Did you ever practice? Brother Artie, you play that guitar pretty good. You ever practice? Did Sister Martha ever say, put that guitar down? Yeah. You had to pour yourself into it to get successful at it. So if you want me to play, all I can play is with, you know, how you roll them black keys. It's like two black cats. The most important thing you could ever give to God is yourself. And the most important thing that God can ever do for you is accept your sacrifice. If those two things work, you give God yourself and God says, well done, you have overcome all obstacles. You have overcome life itself. He does not have to accept your sacrifice. He will not accept your sacrifice unless you pour yourself into this thing. He said, take up your cross and follow me, or you cannot be my disciple. Love me with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And you cannot be my disciple if you don't do that. Whew. You know, what I love, I don't mind suffering for. I don't mind suffering because I love it. The Lord looked at Peter and he was like, that's suffering, Lord. Let's don't do that. I like them turning the water into wine. I like that feeding the 5,000 stuff. He said, but I don't like that suffering stuff. He said, because the Lord was talking about going to the cross and being killed and all this kind of, no, we don't want to do that. There's got to be a better way. So the Lord looked at him and said, thou savorest not. You know what the word savor means? You don't love it. You don't cherish it. You savorest not the things of God, but the things of men. So what you love is the party, but there's some dirty dishes after that party. There's some preparation for that party. We just love the party. And so he rebuked him because you don't realize that the things of God require suffering. For even Christ said, if you don't suffer with me, you can't rise with me. You can't reign with me. You've got to suffer with me. And he put this suffering in there so there wouldn't be a line of people just wanting to get saved without suffering. You're a school teacher, right? You went to college? How many years did you go to college? 4 years. You know why there's not more school teachers? If they made it 4 days, crash course, be a school teacher in 4 days, you couldn't find a job because there'd be so many teachers. But the suffering of 4 years struck a lot of them out. They said, I'm not going to do that. But now you have the success of your suffering. And the Lord did the same thing. If you're going to be successful and live for God, you got to get through the suffering stage. He said, all of those that are of Christ will suffer persecution. It's part of living for God. So those that you hear and those that you see that are successful in the kingdom of God, they didn't get there overnight. They suffered their way to it. They suffered their way to it. And in order to be successful, you have to give yourself to it. Give your time, your emotions, your spirit, your soul, your strength. Everything you've got's got to go into it. Let me this is free. When I was growing up, I never planned on being a preacher. That was not in my vocabulary. I watched my daddy and I watched my grandpa. People. I heard him say, people, you know. And I don't want no part of that. Now, I wasn't fighting it. But when I was just a young kid, I sat on the front pew and I'd take notes as the preacher was preaching. I didn't know. That sounded pretty good. And later on, I found myself alone. Even at night, reading my Bible, my parents would come in, I'd tuck it under the... I didn't want them to know that I was... And the reason I was reading my Bible wasn't so I could get holy. It was because I was hurting. The reason... And it offered me a salve. It offered me a strength that no one else could give. And the reason I was reading my Bible was because I needed direction, and I couldn't find direction. And I said, ooh, he'll direct my path. And I began to realize that there was life inside of this book. There was success inside of this book. And so I continued to read it, not so I could get holy and not so I could preach, but so I could be successful. And the answers to everything, and my kids will tell you, I didn't whip them without reading them a scripture. The Lord said, beat them and they won't die. And I did. No, I didn't. But I became the minister because I poured myself into this thing. And I still do. And I still do. Amen. So don't envy people that are successful in life or in the kingdom of God because it's, oh, that must be nice. Well, it is nice. But what they had to go through to make it nice was suffering. So the most important thing you'll ever do is give God your life. The most important thing God will ever do for you is accept your sacrifice. Amen. It is so important that we live a sacrificial life. When the Lord looked down upon the earth and it was full of wicked and full of violence, he looked and saw one man that was perfect in his generation. You want me to tell you what kind of man he was? A sacrificial man. What was Job? A sacrificial man. He offered sacrifices for his kids in case they sinned. You pray for your kids, and you don't even know where they're at today, but you still pray for them. And so Noah lived a sacrificial life. And so the Lord put Noah and his family, because of his sacrificial life, his family benefited from it. And they got on the ark, and all the earth was destroyed. And then when the water went down, Noah gets out. And before he built him a house, he built an altar. Because he was a sacrificial man. And he built an altar, and he struck a fire wherever he got a match from, or a lighter, or whatever, he struck a fire, and it was a burnt offering. And God smelled the smoke. The Bible says it went up to heaven, and the Lord smelled it as a sweet-smelling savor. Savor. It pleased him that before he did his stuff, he did my stuff. That sacrifice. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and he'll add your stuff, but do his stuff first, and he'll make sure you get plenty of your stuff and some more. He'll add it to you, multiply it to you, but do his command first. That's why he likes first fruit. I got to get going. Sacrifice for what you love. There are many types of sacrifice in the Old Testament. We don't have time to talk about many of them, but one of the most important sacrifices in the Old Testament was when they wanted a covenant between two things, and they would actually divide the sacrifice into two parts and lay them a mirror image, half and half, one on this side and one on that side. And the two people that wanted to be in covenant would walk between the sacrifices. And they would come into agreement with a sacrifice on each side. And they would divide it in the middle. Keep that in your mind as I go forward. In Genesis 5:7, it says, "And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it?" I just make a covenant with me. Do something, let me know. "And he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all of these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against the other. But the birds divided he not." And we could read on. You will find that the Lord and him actually walked between the sacrifices. It was a covenant agreement that Abraham and God would strengthen their relationship by the sacrifice. Okay. Solomon offered a different kind of sacrifice. He offered a burnt offering unto the Lord. Let's read real quick in 1 Kings 3:15. "And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Because the Lord had asked him, I'll give you whatever you want, just let me know. And he said, give me understanding to judge your people. And the Lord said, because you asked me for such a thing as this, I'm going to add to you the things that most people would ask for, wealth and riches. I'll give you that too. See how good God is? But he said, I first want to judge your people. I want to present my body, back to that, a living sacrifice. And so Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and he offered up burnt offerings. One place that he offered 1,000 burnt offerings, and offered peace offerings, and made a feast of all of his servants. Now watch this. This is where I really start preaching. The next verse says, now he's established his relationship with God, and there came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. I mean, you just get through offering all of these sacrifices unto God, and two harlots come up before you. And the world is watching to see what he will do. And the one woman said, oh, my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house. She's making her case. She's setting it up. I and this woman, we dwell in one house. And I was delivered of a child with her in the house. She was there. And it came to pass on 3 days, on the third day after I was delivered, that this woman delivered. So 3 days later, she has her baby in the house. And we were together. And there is no stranger with us in the house, save the two in the house. So there's no witnesses. It's just me and her, my word against hers. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose, when I woke up in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I considered it in the morning, I got to thinking about it. Behold, wait a minute, it's not my son, which I did bear. She awoke to a dead baby. Woke up, afraid, scared, that her baby had died. What fear is that? But she said, when I considered it, I'm like, that ain't my baby. And the thing she loved, at first she thought it was dead. But when she considered it, she said, the dead baby is not mine. The living, I'm going somewhere, baby is mine. And the other woman said, nay, oh no, you, she's got it wrong. But the living is mine. See, now this woman here said, the first woman says that the dead one's not mine. She didn't have to say the living one's mine, right? All she had to say is the dead one's not mine. But this woman pipes up and she brings them both into it. She says, but the living is my son and the dead is thy son. And this she said, no, but the dead is thy son and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king, back and forth. No witness, no, just two in the house. Okay. And the king, he said, one saith, this is my son that liveth and thy son is dead. And the other saith, nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. We're going to have a sacrifice. Let's sacrifice it. Let's sacrifice the living. No good to sacrifice a dead thing. And that's what too many people are sacrificing to God, dead things. You're giving God dead things. You're giving what you don't want. You're giving what don't work. Talk to this side over here. God wants living things. Present him living things. So Solomon said, bring me a sword. So they bring him a sword. Brought it to the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two. See, just like Abraham, we're going to bring this thing into covenant. We're going to get an agreement out of this. We're going to find out something. He didn't tell him what. We're going to find out something and divide this living baby in two pieces and give half to one and the other half to the other. Mm-hmm. Let's divide the living sacrifice. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king. For her bowels yearned. That's that love. Her bowels, her stomach was churning to think that you could divide my baby. Her bowels yearned for her son. And she said, oh, my Lord, I'm willing to sacrifice. See, I'm willing to sacrifice. Oh, Lord, give her the living child. You know how many people have stayed in a marriage, men and women stayed in marriages that they fell out of love with their husband, but they stayed in the marriage for their kids' sake? Because they love their kids and said it'd be best for them. This person said, I can't stand. I love this child, and I'm going to lose what I love. So she says, give her, the liar, but she didn't call her that, the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, oh, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. No love. And so the real sacrifice was not the child. The real sacrifice was the love of the mother. That love of the mother, that the mother was willing to give up her life for the child's life. She was willing to say, you know, before I try to win this fight, I'm going to give up because I love my child too much to try to win this fight. I'll just take my cradle and I'll put it in the attic. And I'll go to bed and cry myself to sleep, but I'm not going to lose what I love. Divide it not. Give it to her. Her bowels were yearning for this child. Amen. This, my brothers and sisters, is real love and real sacrifice. When you let somebody else raise your children just so they can have a life rather than destroying their life to save yours. And the king answered and said, give her the living child. and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. Do you not understand that when you give yourself to God, He gives you yourself back and more? You can't outgive God. When you give to God from your heart, He'll give that back and abundance more. The whole program that God has is giving you more. You look at the parable of the talents, you look at the grapes, you look at everything the Lord did. He gave those faithful ones more. And all Israel heard the judgment which the king had judged. Wow, two harlots fighting over a dead or a living baby. And everybody was watching. How's he going to handle this? And they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Wow. The Lord blessed Solomon with wisdom that is untold. When you read the Proverbs, you read one and you've got a whole message out of one proverb. Amen. And I just want to tell somebody in my closing thoughts this morning that sometimes you have to sacrifice things that you're willing to let go. See, she was willing to let it go. Okay. The only way I overcome things in my life was to let it go. There's things I've been through, things you've been through, that the only way to overcome it, I'm never going to get it straight. I'm never going to get it right. No one's ever going to, they're not going to believe my story. But the way I have to overcome it is let it go. And when I let it go, God gave me peace back about it. And so when she let it go, she got it back. But until you're willing to let it go, you won't have the peace that God can offer you back. And so, what are you willing? Are you willing to be a living sacrifice unto God? So many times I hear people say, I've heard it said many, many times, one day I gave my life to Christ. And that's the problem. It was for one day. It was for one day. Because when you gave your life to Christ on that day, I'll live for you, then you don't. And still think you're okay. The Lord is looking for a living day after day after day sacrifice. And that's why Paul said, I die daily. I am a living sacrifice that dies daily. And too many times people think they can give their life to Christ one time and then go live like they want to live and think God's going to accept that sacrifice. It ain't happening. It's not happening. It's not going to happen. Let me explain the difference between someone who lives a life for Christ because they love Christ. They love God. They love the kingdom of God. They love church. And someone who gives their life to Christ one day. When you give your life to Christ in one day and go back out and do what you want to do, that's a lustful life. Because a lustful life is all about what you can do for me. Consume it upon your own lust. It's about what can I get out of life and not what can I give to life. Love is a giver. Lust is a taker. So to give your life to Christ, one day is that I give my life. You know something? You really can't give it. Christ already gave his life for you. And all you're going to do is reciprocate what he's already done. He said, I died that you might live. I didn't come to bring death. I didn't even come to bring condemnation. I came to bring life, and that more abundantly. And so this morning, I'm out of time. But this mother loved her child, and she'd rather lose the fight and keep loving her child and wonder, I don't know where Johnny's at, but I pray he's okay. I haven't seen him in 3 years. She had rather go through the suffering of that than to win the fight. And the Lord looked and saw how she was being mistreated. And the Lord said, told the king, in no wise slay the baby, for I saw the love of the real mama. She was willing to sacrifice. She was willing. Are you willing to sacrifice this morning? Let me take a look at your life, and I can tell you what you love. Let me walk with you for a day and I can tell you what you love. Let me work with you for a week and I can tell you what you love. Because I'm going to listen to what you talk about. Because out of the abundance of a man's love, out of his heart, his mouth will speak. Lord, I'm thankful for your blessings today. I'm thankful for your mercies. I'm thankful, Lord, for those that are here today. We ask, Lord, that some way, somehow, the word of the Lord will penetrate our hearts, Lord, that we could be more like you each and every day in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Take a quick break. We'll be back in a few minutes at 10:30 for morning worship.